I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the 2-Minute Drill.
Playoffs continue here on 2-Minute Drill. Pierce is here. Scott's here. We are going to talk about the wild card weekend. The unfortunate losers that now got to sit at home with other losers like us and watch the rest of football. We got what, like 7 games left? 4 this weekend, 2, and then 1. Yeah, 7.
7 games.
How low do you feel when you start counting down the games left in the NFL season?
I started to get a little more depressed, especially this year because spring training is not around the corner. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting more and more depressed. This is the type of year. It's the type of time of year where usually my NBA content, my NBA watching goes, viewership goes up. Like before this, you know, well, the Bulls have been sucking for years. So I really ain't been watching no NBA. But this year, I've only been watching the Bulls nightly, you know, the big primetime games. But now that we're getting close to the end of the NFL season, I'm getting more NBA watching per night because I know I've only got 7 more games of football.
The times are changing, and my Bulls are good, although they're not playing well right now.
Some of the Calvary's back. Caruso's back tonight.
Mm-hmm. White Jordan's back.
White Jordan's back.
I got my DeRozan in the mail the other day. I'm so happy.
I need to grab a DeMar and a Zach jersey. You know DeMar's been on fraud alert since Zach went out, but we'll talk about that on the third pick.
What you gonna do? You only superstar the team. I mean, it ain't like, you know, your other supposed superstars doing anything to benefit the team right now, right? Right?
Yeah, all of them. Him, Vooch is on fraud alert too.
Hey, listen, man. In about 2 years, Nikola Jokic will be leading this team to glory. So
yes, this is very true.
I can only be so mad. But you know, Bulls talk will be on a first pick and. That'll be up tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Or today, technically. But we'll talk about the losers from last week. We'll give confidence picks for the 8 remaining teams and their quarterbacks and their coaches and their defenses. And then we'll predict the divisional round of the postseason. But before we go back, any words on, I almost call that nigga Ed Dodds, whatever his first name is, Dodds, that dude. Clyde decided he's not interested.
I'm gonna keep it a buck. I said this on Twitter. I said this when I shot I'm Not Gonna Hold You yesterday. I don't really care about the Bears GM and coaching search. I've given it all up to God. Like, even if it's somebody who I like, I'm not
you
gonna
let go and let God with the Chicago
I've let
Bears.
Go and let God with the Chicago Bears. Like, you know, I feel what Kay Adams said on Pat McAfee the other day. It's like you're in a relationship with somebody. It's like, you know, and I said this on Hoops and Brews last night. I was like, look. Because Pat was like, I don't like the Bears. I'm like, nigga, I don't like the Bears
no
either.
Shit. Bears fans don't like the Bears.
He's like, I don't like the Bears either. He said, yes, you do. I'm like, no, I love the Bears. I don't like them. It's like some people who are married. You might love your wife or you love your husband.
You're here because
you
it's
don't
obligation.
Like
you're not here because, like, you're the relationship is beneficial for you.
It's because, like, I've been with them so long and I don't want to start over.
Exactly. Been with them so long. It's convenient to have them there to know that you can look over your shoulder at
and
night.
And somebody sleeping
next to you. Yeah. That person might be doing you dirty, but it's just something about the comfortableness of knowing that fuck-ass team is right there.
Exactly. But with this particular situation, it's like whoever gets hired, whether it's somebody I like or not, I'm not going to give them any praise at least 3 years down the line anyway. You know, Nagy did great in his first year. So I need to see progression. And so as far as Dodds, like, he's done this before. He did this last year. with the Browns gig where he's pulled his name. Now, the Bears have not earned the benefit of the doubt from the fan base, so I understand why some fans be skeptical. Maybe he wanted, you know, he could feel the shit storm coming out of Hallis Hall. That could be a huge possibility. Or maybe he kind of felt that maybe this team was leaning in a different direction. So there's different ways they could go. I'm not going to sit up here and act like I knew who the fuck he was till a couple days ago, because I didn't. I'm not really familiar on any of these GM candidates. I'm way more up on game about than the coaches than I am with the GM. They keep it, but a lot of Bears Twitter don't know about these GMs either. Anybody, you know, got these names and they go off with somebody else told them. I don't know.
The only dude anybody knew of before this year was Rick Smith.
And really, that's really about it. That's really about it.
That's because he's a previous gentleman.
Yes, but I will say this.
Like, Champ Kelly. They need to keep Champ Kelly in the building. We don't know shit about Champ Kelly. And that's with no disrespect to Champ Kelly. It's just, unless you're at that level, general manager, president, even most of the directors of scouting around the league, don't nobody know who the fuck they are.
Well, I don't. Joe knows him. Joe said he's a good guy, but
Joe's one of one.
Right. Yeah. He said he's a good guy. I don't know him. Tariq was like, he should be. I'm like, Tariq, you're probably not going to be a next year.
Yeah. Whatever. You got bigger things to worry about.
I will say this. Fucking field. This is my bold prediction. It's probably not bold if you look at the amount of people they're interviewing. I do think that both the GM and the coach will be black. That's my prediction.
I think so too.
That's my prediction.
But I'm thinking more so for cynical reasons probably than you are.
Oh no, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on that. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, it just seems like the Bears are going to do it to try to save face with the mm-hmm. organization, and it's not going to be anything.
It's a PR move. It's a PR move. Exactly. Yeah.
But excuse me, it's actually an unseasonably warm day in Philadelphia. Can't wait for that snow to hit tomorrow.
It's a good day in LA today. I'm
fucking sure it is,
because I had too much tequila, who's some brews yesterday, and forgot my age, so I'm dealing with it today.
So alcohol is a yes, but liquor or beer is a no. Staying away from beer, but alcohol is still decent.
I can do hard liquor more than I can do beer, because beer is like a lot of calories and shit. So I try to stay away from beer.
Look at this nigga drinking Michelob Ultras.
Hey man, look, I'm 46 pounds down. I'm very close to my first
congratulations.
Goal.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Very close to my first goal of 50 pounds down. So you know, I gotta watch what I'm doing. Yesterday I didn't plan to eat to drink yesterday. I was really just supposed to shoot my show. But for reasons I cannot stay on here, we had to push it back. And I was like, I might as well get a Hoops and Brews. And we had the People's Tequila while we was recording. So,
mm-hmm. See that man popped up on a Manning cast the other day?
It was hilarious because he was giving that little rah-rah speech for the Cardinals. And that's when Kyler got picked up. That.
Interception.
And Eli was like, I don't think he heard you, Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne, I don't think Kyler is about drive or power. I don't think he's hungry or devours. I love how, like, every time Dwayne gets on, like, TV to talk about his days at the University of Miami, he was a national champion with the Hurricanes. He always has to mention that the reason that he never became an NFL player is because Warren Sapp decided to be born.
Yeah.
And it's I'm fully under the belief that Warren Sapp just thinks that The Rock was trash at football.
He calls him Dewey.
Because he's doo-doo.
No, that's his nickname.
They call him Dewey. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dewey was his nickname. It's probably still because he's doo-doo, though.
Right. Well, what did he say? He sacked Charlie World? He tackled Charlie World or something before he became an NBA player?
Yeah, because Charlie Ward was – actually, I'm going to say Charlie Ward won a Heisman. Don't quote me on that. But okay. Charlie Ward was a quarterback for Florida State. So, like, that's – I remember, like, in the 90s. So, like, I would have – like I had, like, a college football game dated maybe 93, 94 on a Sega Genesis. And I would play it, and I don't know how, because they shouldn't have had, like, licensing and shit. But Charlie Ward was on the game at quarterback. And I'm like – nigga, I just saw Charlie Ward play point guard at the Garden the other day. That don't make no fucking sense. Dude, that's why. So, two-sport athlete. We need more of those, man.
Yes, we do.
Who was I watching the other? Bo. I think it was Bo. It was something on Bo I was watching the other day. And it's just like, you don't have Bo and Kyler. Because transitioning to, you know, the frauds of last week. The concerns growing over Kyler Murray, and a lot of you were like, yo, he might rethink this whole football thing. It's trash to play on Monday. It is like, yo, when you were a top 10 pick in MLB, like, it's a possibility. I remember when he's coming out of college and I was like, he might want to give baseball a harder look. I understand being the first pick in the draft and all that, but you might want to stick to baseball. And after Monday, I'm not saying that he's going to go back, because, I mean, like, you're already here. You've already played as well as you are. You might as well stick around and see if you can get that second contract. Think about it.
I'll say that even when the hype about Kyler Murray before he was drafted, I was one of the people who said he should have played baseball too. Now, I understand the quick money of the NFL to be an NFL quarterback. I understand that. You don't want to ride them shitty ass minor league buses and all that. I get it. I still think the long-term play would have been baseball. But I don't think it's just that Cardinals thing. It's just that I knew I picked him to lose that game, but I didn't think it would be an absolute shellacking. Like, and it was, you know, Kingsbury's bad, but Kyler was, god awful.
Kyler was so bad that he had me thinking that Jalen Hurts looked better on Sunday.
And yes, that's how bad it looked. Like, that's how bad it looked. And Jalen was, nigga, terrible.
Like, I couldn't defend Jalen after Sunday. Like, I could still sit here and say, like, yeah, he's... See, this is a difference between the two... their two performances. Sunday for Jalen, Monday for Kyler. The difference between Jalen Hurts against the Buccaneers and Kyler Murray against the Rams is a Heisman Trophy in one round in the draft. If Kyler Murray was a second round pick and not the number one pick in the draft, we will be killing his ass and wondering, hey, the Cardinals might want to, you know, look for other options at quarterback next year. Obviously, they're not, because they got, I want to say, two more years. Because they have next year, and then they have the fifth-year option to Kyler to kind of figure this shit out. And they'll probably give him a long-term deal, because it's not like the Cardinals ever had anything.
He's going to be a long-term deal. Like, this thing about NFL, if you have even a half-decent quarterback, you have to pay him. Like, even the conversation over Dak this week, that the Cowboys overpaid. Yeah, they probably overpaid, but you had to pay him.
What were you going to do? You're going to go trade for Russell Wilson? I'm pretty sure that was dead last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Giants fans, I see you. I saw you. Capping y'all fucking asses off talking about, oh, we wouldn't take Dak Prescott on our team.
You lie.
Bull fucking shit.
You had Daniel Jones.
The Giants haven't had a quarterback in 10 years. Yeah, I said 10 years, because the last 8 years that Eli was there don't fucking matter.
I'm going to keep it a buck. I've always said this about Eli. Eli's Jay Cutler with opportunity. I will forever say that. He's Jay Cutler with opportunity. That's all it is. You give him them weapons, you give him that defense he had, you might have got the same result. I was never that big of an Eli fan as far as his football career.
Yeah, it's ridiculous for Giants fans to sit here and act like they've seen great quarterback play in their history of being Giants fans, to the point that, no, I'd rather sit here and watch Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm than Dak Prescott. Wild to me. Wild. But, hey, that's the NFC.
Giants fans would jump off the New World Trade Center just to get Mac Jones.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, let's just keep it a buck.
The New York Trade Center. Oh, God. I'm not sure I can do that one. But anyway, let's kind of give a post-mortem to all the wild card teams that are no longer with us.
No longer.
RIP to the Raiders. RIP to the Cowboys. RIP to the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Steelers. RIP to that inmate wearing number 7. I'm forgetting the other team, the Eagles. Of course, I forgot about the Eagles. Who can remember the Eagles? Which team of the 6 that lost this past week do you think is closest to a Super Bowl title? And it's not like you're saying like any of them are like Chiefs level.
Yeah, I mean, none of them are really
closest.
None of them really close. But if I had to pick, it would probably have to be the Cowboys, just because the roster. Like, they still have the best roster out of everybody, out of all these teams mentioned. They still have the best quarterback out of all these teams mentioned. But with the Cowboys at this point, it's like, to me, this was their year as far as at least getting to the NFC Championship game. And I almost picked them last week on here. Well, I'm not going to hold you on my article that I got on Slick Sports. I almost picked them because I was like, this defense is great. Dak has looked really, really good all year. And if there's any chance they can do it, it would be this year. And they just, and honestly, that game was never as close as it really was at the end of that game. If the Cardinals was kicking their shit in, Like, I'm not calling, but the 49ers. 49ers was kicking their shit in. And you could say it's a McCarthy problem, which it is. But Dak is also, he is what he is. You know, Black Stafford, as Damian calls him. And so from a roster perspective, yes, they're still going to be in the conversation every year. They play in that terrible division, and they've got a lot of good young talent. That being said, I don't know what it's going to take for that young talent to get over that hump of even at least making an NFC Championship game, which they haven't done since Michael Jordan had three championships.
It's crazy. I'm going to say the Cowboys as well, but I would put Sunday's loss less on Dak. And trust me, Dak is boneheaded for not realizing that the ball has to go to the ref first. The ref has to touch the ball, spot it, not your center. That's completely on Dak. Dak has to be more knowledgeable in that situation, even give themselves a chance. Because the Niners were giving them a chance. The Niners were like, hey, fuck it, man. Prevent D means we're preventing ourselves from winning this football game. Let's go. But to me, this is more on Mike McCarthy. And what have we said for his entire time as a Cowboys head coach? Cowboys have a shot of in the Super Bowl if Mike McCarthy
doesn't fuck it up.
And his clock management skills are completely porous. He also has to know better in that situation not to call a fucking quarterback. See, this is what happened. When I saw Dak take off and start running for yardage, it was like 16, 15 seconds left on the clock. And my TV froze. My Paramount Plus account started freezing. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck's going on, man? I gotta see. He just ran a fucking sneak. Who the fuck runs a sneak? Turn back in. I see people celebrating. I'm like, oh, no. How do you let this happen? How do you go quarterback sneak with less than 20 seconds left? It didn't make any fucking sense. And that's the shit you get from a Mike McCarthy-led team all the time. So while I say, like, yeah, they're closer to a Super Bowl, completely putting the caveat in that Mike McCarthy's still their head coach, and Jerry doubled down on that this week, it's hard to see it as long as that man's in charge, because we saw firsthand how he kept Aaron Rodgers from going to a second Super Bowl, not winning a second Super Bowl, from going to a second Super Bowl. It's probably going to be more of the same in Dallas, unfortunately, but that was a fun little game, man. The Battle of the Foos. Can I say this one thing?
And I think me and you was arguing with this guy on Twitter too, about why y'all shoving this old rivalry in our face. Nobody under 28 cares. First of all, this is one of those many my league is better tweets. The NBA shoves Lakers Celtics in our face all the goddamn time. Now, whether you're somebody who's a student of the game, I consider myself a student of the game. I love history of all sports. So I'm not sitting up here and saying I have a problem with the NBA talking about Lakers and Celtics all the time. But this is a team that's met one time in the NBA Finals since I've been alive. One time. At least the Niners and Cardinals is recent memory within at least 25 years. And this is something that you have that type of thing where it's exciting to care about that. In the NFL, why should NFL care about the younger TikTok generation? That's not their core demographic any fucking way. So I never understood that type of fucking complaint when you do the same shit with the NBA. Like every time you see, oh, Marcus Smart, LeBron James, nobody cares about that game, dog. That's something that I would understand being upset about more than this.
Mm-hmm. And to your point about, you know, the differences and your reach for the game, look no further than the Nickelodeon broadcast, which you're actually talking about the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Yes.
I didn't watch because I love myself enough to appreciate the nostalgia.
I pay bills.
The nostalgia of 49ers Cowboys, and to be seeing slime, animated slime, go up in the air and shit like that. But the second year they've done it, to varying levels of the degree of success. But take that in comparison to last year. Remember when ESPN did that game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors, and it was like a Marvel Heroes?
Yeah, oh yeah, thing. That shit was terrible.
It just completely blew up in their face, the shit that they were trying to do. They were trying to steal from how the NFL did that Nickelodeon game and just repurpose it around Marvel. and it absolutely blew up in their face. It was not
good. Not good.
Not and hey, maybe they could find a way to make it decent, but they had no formula for it.
Yeah.
The thing that I can always trust out of the NFL is knowing their demographic, whether it is 18 to 34, whether it is an older crowd, or whether they're trying to reach kids. I could trust that there's still some sort of method to the madness of where they're going to try to reach more audiences or cater to their audiences. The NBA just tries to go off of what they're seeing on social media and how social media is. It is very much like how SNL is now, where you watch SNL and SNL is making social media jokes.
Yeah.
You know, doing the Elmo Rocco shit. Regular people don't fucking understand, you know, why Elmo doesn't fuck with Rocco. We do because we sit on the internet all fucking day and laugh and shit, but regular people don't do that.
Yeah.
Fully admitting I'm not a regular person. You know, the NBA tries to cater to that social media crowd, and you can do that to an extent. You can cater to that NBA Twitter crowd to an extent. But I say this so much. I say this on Ruthless Aggression when we talk about wrestling Twitter and how, you know, people within wrestling Twitter just feel like that is the great voice. But Twitter is such a small minuscule audience compared to the broader sense of it. It's smaller than Facebook.
Yeah.
It's smaller than Instagram too. So you try to focus on that crowd, you're always going to lose. And you know, the dude tried to make that about the Cowboys and the 49ers. We haven't seen it since 95. It's sad that we haven't seen it since 95.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the great rivalries in the playoffs is the Cowboys and the 49ers, two teams with five Super Bowls each. You know, and we got to see them in a high drama game. It should, you know, of course, the game probably could have been better, but it's everything you would have wanted as a fan. All the nostalgia of football packed into this one game. And of course, you only see the disdain of that coming from somebody that would rather watch the Magic versus the Jazz on some random Wednesday night.
Which I value my time way too much, man.
Fuck all that. Let's continue on, man. Which team is furthest away of the wild card losers?
Who's furthest away? Who's the furthest away? I would probably have to say, I think it's I can't even really say the Raiders or the Steelers because they might have new quarterbacks next year. So I guess by default, I would have to say the Cardinals. It's the Cardinals. It has to be the Cardinals because I have, as great as Kyler Murray has played, he has not been consistent. This has been an ugly second half for him in general. I feel like just in general, in the second half, him and Kingsbury, that's when they've really fallen off a cliff. And they've got a lot of old guys on their roster. J.J. Watt is old. DeAndre Hopkins, I wouldn't call him old, but he's been around for a minute. You know, AJ Green has been around for a minute. You know, Connor's been around. They don't have any young studs on this offense or on this. You know, Buda Baker is young, kind of young on the defensive side. And I'm glad he's feeling better. That hit looked ridiculous, but that definitely got to be the furthest away because I don't think we're really sure about how good Kyler is yet. And Kingsbury looks like he's out there getting away with murder, and so that's who I would probably have to pick with Pittsburgh and the Raiders. There's chances that Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers might be in these spots. Or they might trade for a Deshaun Watson. There's ways for them.
Can we sit on Aaron Rodgers real quick, man? Mike Florio kind of let it slip the other day his show that Pittsburgh might be interested in an Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And
well, who Mike Tomlin described in his post game sounded like Aaron Rodgers.
You know, if it feels like the Steelers might feel like Aaron Rodgers would be interested in going to a 6-time Super Bowl champion that has a lineage within the NFL history books.
Yes.
I would love it because
I would love it too, because he's not here. I don't give a fuck where he go. I'll help him pack.
I would hate Steelers fans. That might be one of the one places where if Aaron Rodgers goes, I might continue to hate him. Because Steelers fans are just fucking annoying.
Yeah, but you know what? You can be fucking annoying in another conference.
Yeah, of course. And
deal with these hicks in Green Bay who will now have to be forced to root for Jordan Love. for the next decade. And then we can come into every game against them like, you know what? We have the better quarterback. For the first time ever, we have the better quarterback.
How good does that fucking that would, sound?
Like, you know how good it probably felt for Bills fans this week to unleash 20 years of hell on non-stop. That team? Non-stop. They just scoring. Whooped their ass. And it was and their franchise quarterback letting the greatest coach of all time, like, it's like what Marlo did to the Barksdale. Nigga, this is my block now. Like, you know, Josh Allen was like, you know, I'm gonna say it peacefully with the golf swing. That probably felt amazing for Bills fans. I want to feel that one day with Aaron Rodgers gone and we're just beating Jordan Love's ass and Justin Fields got like 5 touchdowns on these niggas. That's what I need. So I would love to see Rodgers in Pittsburgh. I'd love to see him wherever, but I do think Pittsburgh would fit him. You know how he always likes coaches. We don't really know his relationship with LaFleur is. I think it's gotten better over the years, but you know he will respect Mike Tomlin. He would love Mike Tomlin. And you got a defense that's already built and ready. Would you imagine that defense, TJ Watt and them, and you know they can have a quarterback who can actually throw? That would be great. And you got a great fan base, passionate fan base. I've only been in Pittsburgh one time when I covered the Bears Steelers game. They love that town. It feels like a college town to me, Pittsburgh. Yeah. And they love their fucking Steelers. Like, I went to a fucking TGI Fridays and there was Steeler flags all up in that motherfucker. That would be a great place for him to go. All Bears hate, want him leaving my division aside.
Yeah, it would be a very interesting spot. And then when you think about, you know, possible landing spots for Aaron Rodgers, okay? We talked last week about the AFC West. That's going to be run by Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbe for the next 10 years. You know, the spots where he can go and then comfortably win are few and far between, which is why, like, him staying in Green Bay is a possibility because ain't nobody really pressing him right now. Even us, if we sit here and say, oh yeah, Justin Fields is him, there's no guarantee that the Bears are gonna be challenging the Packers anytime soon. So if he stays, he's gonna run that division for the next five, six years. He's gonna have to go to a team that, you know, has a clear shot to a division title every year. And the only two places I could see that right now are in the AFC, and that's Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. If Indianapolis is ready and they're behind because they sent their first round pick to go get Carson Wentz.
If there's anything I think Ryan Pace for, thank you for not getting Carson.
Thank you for not sending us asunder like that. I appreciate you. You know, it's one of those two places. Now, the NFC East is an intriguing possibility because you have two, maybe three, depending on what Washington wants to do, teams who are in need of upgrades at quarterback. You know, somebody threw out the Giants as a possibility for Derek Carr. I would love that. If we talk about Derek Carr, and this segues back to the original question, who you think's further away from the Super Bowl? See how we do that. You see how we do that. For me, it is the Raiders. I'll unequivocally say the Raiders because I don't think they're keeping Rich Bisaccia as much as the players love them.
He did interview today.
He did interview today, but I think that was just a courtesy.
That was a courtesy. Yeah.
Thank you for being a Coach of the Year candidate and getting us through all of this shit. We appreciate you. We're going to turn this shit and rebuild. I think they're going to go under a full rebuild. I think whoever comes in is going to trade Derek Carr and try to find, you know, his quarterback of the future. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to go because I don't think the Raiders really have the assets to go and get him. So then you're looking at a full rebuild. If you go that route, Derek Carr needs new homes.
Now, did you say that you said they need assets to get Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think they're going to.
Aaron Rodgers can leave. That's part of his contract.
Is he'll be a free agent?
Yeah, he can leave. So they wouldn't have to give up nothing.
Okay, I figured it would be a trade.
They don't have to give up nothing. He can. That's the only reason he's playing right now. So they restructure so he can just leave.
Okay, I mean. But in that same vein, unless you're bringing Devontae Adams with you, there's no true weapons.
Oh, for sure.
You have Waller, that's one. Hunter Renfrow is a maybe. because, you know, Aaron Rodgers could probably have Hunter Renfro be his what's that white boy that tore his ACL?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson. Yeah, he could be the Jordy Nelson. I was thinking Jeff Janis, but yeah, Jordy Nelson.
Ooh, that's a throwback, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so like maybe, but I personally think the Raiders are going to go under a full rebuild. And if that happens, Derek Carr is an intriguing option for a lot of teams. He could go to the Saints and they can pick up where they left off.
I like that's a good name right there.
He'd go to Saints and they could pick up where they left off. I would rather them try to stick it out with Jameis, but the ACL, you know, completely understandable. The Giants.
Giants smell like Russell Wilson to me. If he leaves, just because Sierra would love to play and Sierra loves to be in New York.
Sierra would love to be in New York, it's not Sierra's decision. It's Russell's. Okay, if you have an opportunity to go to Pittsburgh over New York, you go to Pittsburgh. You go to the Steelers and fucking Sierra can go kick it in West Virginia. Like tough shit.
But you know, I don't know if you know, it's Mike Tomlin was saying he wanted a taller quarterback. That's why I was like, oh, Aaron Rodgers.
I did not hear him say taller quarterback, which is upsetting. I figured he would be down with the Brown. But you know, like, if you want to hype shame,
he said tall, bigger, and mobile quarterback. Wonder where you can find one of those.
Yeah. But again, Derek Carr is going to be a nice little option for a lot of teams.
Yeah, I like Derek Carr in New Orleans. That's a nice one.
I also don't pin that last interception on Derek Carr. And a lot of people were just like, oh, yeah, Derek Carr.
I mean, it's not him, but in the playoffs, we about jokes.
Of course, we about jokes.
We about jokes. You're right, though. I don't really pin that on him either.
He was the whole reason.
He's the only reason they even had a chance to win the game.
And having a chance to win the game.
But jokes better than facts.
Yeah, that's facts. Let's continue on. Who's the quarterback with the most uncertain future? Of course, we just talked about Derek Carr. Is there anybody else?
Like as far as the teams who are eliminated or?
Yeah.
Most uncertain future out of the teams who are eliminated. I can't think of nobody else besides. I mean, well, obviously we have no quarterback in Pittsburgh. So I guess
right. If you want to be cheap and say Mason Rudolph, but like yeah, Mason you want, fucking Rudolph.
Right. Yeah. Mason Rudolph and Haskins. You know what I'm saying? And I'm when they asked him about it. That was one of the first questions. And then he was like, what did Thomas say? Well, you know, they've definitely shown things, but they got to prove it. We know what we're looking for. And then he went on to describe.
Yeah, them niggas ain't coming back.
Yeah, describe the niggas that they not.
The only reason that Dwayne Haskins is still relevant is because his girl fine as hell. And it's also very violent. Some people like that.
Yeah.
Just saying. It probably has to be Derek Carr, but I think like in a good way because it's not like Derek Carr is gonna get traded to the Texans and has to endure some more shitty seasons. He's gonna go to a team that needs a quarterback that needs to, you know, make a push to win now, and hopefully has an offense with weapons around it. So I would say Derek Carr if we're talking about, you know, who is most likely to not be back with their current team. Because I think, you know, you look at the other teams that lost, Kyler staying. Oh, no, they didn't lose. Sorry. I was going to say, he's going to throw Jimmy G out there, but the Cardinals didn't lose. Or the Niners didn't
lose. When we get to them, I feel like Jimmy G be getting too much slander. And this is from somebody who takes a lot of pleasure in slandering Jimmy G.
If you want to talk about jokes during the playoffs, that interception was a rightful joke during the playoffs.
It was. But Jimmy G still be winning playoff games, man. Yeah.
Let's take Bisaccia out of this since he is not, he's still interim. Who's the head coach of the losers this past weekend with the most uncertain future? I feel like this one should be a unanimous decision.
I mean, it's got to be Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Kingsbury. I mean, Jerry and Jerry being so C now, he was like, yeah, well, you know. McCarthy being, and that's one thing I told Cowboy fans. I was like, I wouldn't be so sure. This is a nigga who treated Jason Garrett like he was fucking Bill Parcells. So it was like, I kind of knew he was gonna stick with McCarthy, but it has to be Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. Has to be him. Like we haven't really heard anything about him being on the hot seat yet. But if it ain't hot, it's warming the fuck up. So it has to be him.
Yeah, I'd agree, man. You cannot go back-to-back years with the collapses that they've had. They were, 8-0, 7-0 to start the season?
Yeah, 7-0.
and ended 11-6. Yeah, that can't happen. That can't happen. I saw something going back to his days at Texas Tech. He always finishes horribly. Losing 7 out of the last 9, losing 5 of the last 7. This is a pattern.
Yeah.
And if you're the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are a win now team with Watt on the squad, Chandler Jones, they have to look at their head coach and say, yo, this shit's not working. We're continuously folding late in the season because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna have to move accordingly, man. I don't know if it happens. You know, we're two days out from Monday night's game. Maybe they're still, you know, trying to, you know, figure out what the future of this team holds. But the way it's looking, man, Cliff Kingsbury is not it. Yeah. He is not making adjustments mid-season. He damn sure did not make adjustments in that game, in the middle of that game when they were getting ran, when Kyler was running for his fucking life out there. Yeah, it's not looking good for Cliff Kingsbury, man.
And this is a hiring that people looked at sideways when it happened to begin with.
Right.
So this is really not shocking.
Like, of all the college coaches, you went to that one?
Right.
Texas Tech? Nigga, because he had Patrick Mahomes? Word? Okay. All right, man. I feel like Pat Fitzgerald will be doing a better job. Go Cats.
I'm glad I haven't heard his name in Bears.
So glad.
Thank God. Like,
it's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Who is the team that most needs to win the offseason of the losers?
Who most needs to win the offseason?
I feel like it has to be the Cowboys.
I mean, what else? I mean, like we said, their problem is not really talent.
Also, like, have we not mentioned the Patriots at all among the losers? Because it's, I think, like, that we just expect it to.
Because
to
we know the Patriots are going to be good. Like, you know, I'm not the biggest Mac fan, but Mac had a pretty damn good rookie year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they got the ass beat in the playoffs, but he's a rookie quarterback. I think he showed you that can at least, you know, be your quarterback for the next couple of years, you know, so you can see what it's going to be like. He had by far had the best season out of any of the rookie quarterbacks. They still got the greatest coach of all time. That defense needs to make some changes. You know, a couple of the guys from the last couple of championships aren't looking as good as they used to. So, but you know, Belichick, if there's anything Belichick knows how to do, is fix the damn defense. I'm not worried about the Patriots in the fucking slightest. I have to say Pittsburgh. I got to say Pittsburgh, because they have to nail this quarterback situation. They have to find out. You know, the Giants are rebuilding. Even if they don't get them one, they're kind of rebuilding from scratch. They're going to have a new GM. They're going to have a new coach. They're going to have a whole new culture over there they're going to be trying to build. You got a coach right now in Mike Tomlin, who's one of the greatest coaches of all time. He has not had a losing record yet in his 15 years as a head coach in Pittsburgh. He don't want to lose. He don't want to rebuild. He don't want to be mired in mediocrity. He wants to win. So in order to keep him happy, which at the moment he's your most valuable asset, you have to get a quarterback. So I think they have to be the ones to knock this offseason out the park.
Pittsburgh, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know necessarily if it's Pittsburgh, just because I think Mike Tomlin – I don't think Mike Tomlin is going to be on a hot seat anytime soon.
No, I'm not saying he's going to be on a hot seat. Maybe he try to get the fuck about it.
Fair. Also fair. It will really depend. Like, if they get a halfway decent quarterback that you can build upon, yeah. It's kind of really just contingent on the quarterback.
Yeah.
If you can't find that person, or if you just settle and say, yeah, Mason Rudolph is a guy, we want you to work with Mason or Dwayne and figure it out, then yeah, he's probably going to pull. But it could be solved very simply with just finding your quarterback of the future, or at least putting yourself in a position to get that quarterback of the future. You know, for me, if McCarthy doesn't win next year, he's gone. Because there's no way that you could lose that game on Sunday the way that you did and then come back next year and not win a division again, not make the playoffs again. He absolutely has to make the playoffs again next year and maybe win a playoff game for him to keep his job, because, you know, Jared's getting up there. And I feel like, you know, he might have kept Garrett for a while, but Garrett was also in the Cowboys organization for a really long time.
And he was also a backup quarterback.
He was a backup quarterback for a championship team. He was a coach there for a really long time. He had tenure within that organization in a relationship with Jerry that McCarthy doesn't have. And McCarthy probably knows that he's got a really hot offensive coordinator that's going to be getting looks for other teams. Not only that, he has a defensive coordinator that went to a Super Bowl before. So if you get rid of McCarthy, you got two dudes already installed there that could take over. And Dan Quinn has done a hell of a job with that defense.
Yeah.
You know, say what you will about 28-3 in the Atlanta years.
Yeah, I blame 28-3 way more on Kendall Roy than I do Dan Quinn.
Exactly. So, you know, if it don't shake out for Mike McCarthy next year, I think he's absolutely gone. But, yeah, the, you know, Cowboy fans are – they've already been impatient. But I feel like the cup's boiled over now. You know, we talk about the Bengals, and it had been, what, 31 years since they won a playoff game. Cowboys have won three playoff games total since 1995.
Jimmy G has more playoff wins than the Cowboys in the last, since the last
year. The Chicago Bears have the same amount of playoff wins.
It's disgusting.
As the Cowboys in that
same time. You never want to be with the Bears in anything.
No. No. The Texans, who were born in 2002, who have been your in-state rival for 20 years, have more playoff wins than you in the last 20 years. It's time. It's time for the Cowboys to be relevant again, get back to conference championships. And if they don't, Mike McCarthy's head is going to be on Spike. Joffrey Baratheon's spike.
Yes.
Because it's going to be time, and then you got Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn to fit in place of him. So I definitely think they're probably – the team that absolutely needs to win this off season. Not only that, Amari was not happy towards the end of the season. So you got to keep your all pro wide receiver happy enough to keep everything together. That's going to be very difficult. Let's talk about the teams that are still moving on. The teams are still alive.
The teams are still employed, right?
Do some confidence rankings for the eight clubs that are still trying to vie for a Super Bowl title. Let's start off by talking about the remaining playoff teams, and we'll get into quarterbacks, the head coaches, and defenses. We're going to rank them 1 through 8.
Okay.
1 being the most confident, 8 being the least confident. So how about the playoff teams left, man? 1 through 8.
I'm going to rank – are we going from 8 to 1 or 1 to 8?
You can do 8 to 1.
Okay. At 8, my least confident out of the teams that we have left will probably be the LA Rams. And that's because I have zero belief in Stat Padford. Zero. I think it's a great team. I think the running game is good. I love what Sonny Michel's been doing. Cam Akers is back. He looks good. Odell is Odell. And I told y'all, don't believe that criminal, sober Johnny Manziel, Baker Mayfield, make you believe that this nigga was weak. Odell's still Odell. They've got a great team. Defense showed up. Aaron Donald showed up. Vaughn looked like Vaughn on Monday. But that quarterback, man, and this is – why every game is going to be a legacy game for Stafford, because as bad as Jared Goff was, he took them to the Super Bowl. So if I trade multiple first round picks for you, you have to win the Super Bowl. If I'm trading you for the guy who took us to one. So I don't think he's winning this Sunday. I can't see him winning a Super Bowl. That's ultimately what he have to do to make that trade worth it. So I'm gonna put the Rams at number 8. At number 7, I'm going to put the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's really because they're just a young team. They're learning. They're not there yet. Burrow's great. Jamar Chase is great. And I think they're going to be in this race, in this conversation for years to come. I just don't think right now is their time. At number 6, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are, you know, they have a great defense, they have a great running game, and they're probably the most dangerous team alive. And, you know, they've beaten Aaron. They've gotten the best of Aaron Rodgers every time they played in the playoffs, whether it's been Jimmy G or Kaepernick or Alex Smith or whatever, they've gotten the best of them. But they're still, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. So I'm going to put them in number 6. And number 5, I'm going to have to go with the Tennessee Titans. And I do believe the Titans are being slept on out of all these teams just because of how good they've been holding down the fort since Derrick Henry's been back. I mean, since Derrick Henry was out, he's going to be back on Sunday. Mike Vrabel might be coach of the year. And so I still have, think they have a great chance to win a Super Bowl. But if I had to rank my teams remaining, they'll be five. Number four, I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's because, one, it's very tough to make three straight Super Bowls. Very, very tough to make three straight Super Bowls for any team. And they just have not been consistent this year. The defense had a terrible first half and looked better in the second half, and they had a great game last week. Mahomes has not looked like Mahomes all this year. I mean, to me, there's only been two games this year where I was like, that's Patrick Mahomes we know. That was a regular season game against the Raiders, and that was this past Sunday against the Steelers. Besides that, he has not looked like the Mahomes of old to me, and I think that's going to be an issue. Number three, I'll put the Buffalo Bills. I think they're very equipped. I picked them to come out the AFC at the beginning of the season. I'm going to stick with that. But even if they don't get it done, they're getting closer each year. So I'm going to put them in number three. Number two is the Green Bay Packers, because they're kind of like in a situation. I won't say like the Cowboys, because obviously they have more playoff wins than the Cowboys, but it's kind of a win or go home situation for the Packers. This might be the best team they've had in the Aaron Rodgers era. I mean, even if you look at the year they actually won a Super Bowl, they're a wild card team. They caught fire late. The Bears didn't put them out of their misery in week 17 like they should have, with Lovey going for the field goal instead of just eliminating them. They had better teams in, 2013, 2014. They had that crazy NFC Championship game. And even when they went to the NFC Championship game the last 2 years, I mean, last year they were kind of smelly. The year before that, I feel like they were still in wins. This is the best team that I feel like they've had. You've got Aaron Rodgers is playing on MVP level. Devontae is Devontae. Their running game. They've got a dual threat running game with Aaron Jones. AJ Dillon has been great. AJ Dillon, his power running game is going to slow the game down. The defense is legit. This is not like how last year, I feel like the defense is more opportunistic more than they were actually good. This is an actually good defense. They're getting Jaire Alexander back. They're getting Za'Darius Smith back. The offensive line has been good. They're getting Bakhtiari this week. So that, everything is kind of aligning for the Packers, but can they actually win the big games? Can Aaron Rodgers beat the Niners for the first time in his career in the playoffs? Can they actually get to the NFC Championship game and not jag it like they have the last 2 years? Well, the last three times they've been in the NFC Championship game. That's going to be a huge question for them. But if they're, I have to give them solid number two, because I feel like if there's any time they've been best equipped to do it, it'd be this year. And number one, it strictly has nothing to do with the roster. They're beat up right now. The offensive line, their couple offensive linemen got injured last week. They don't have Chris Godwin. Leonard Fournette's going to play, but we don't really know how good he's going to be. They got some holes on this team in Tampa Bay, but they got Tom Brady. And like I've been saying, like I said on when I shot, I'm not going to hold you this week. Like I'm going to continue to say, it's not about X's and O's when you play a Tom Brady-led team. They have Tom Brady. And that is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter how good your roster is. Because on paper, you can say on paper right now, the Rams have a better roster than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this coming Sunday. But they have Brady. And as long as they have Brady, I'm going to continue to pick them. I just have, if there's one thing we've learned over the last two decades, never count Tom Brady out. And so I'm just not going to do it. So I'm going to put Tampa number one.
Yeah, no, it's solid. My from 8 to 1, I'm gonna go with the Bengals at 8 because they are that young team and they lost two key pieces of that defensive line. Larry Ogunjobi is on the IR and Trey Hendrickson is in concussion protocol. That's gonna be huge losses when they gotta go up against Boobie Miles and the Tennessee Titans this upcoming Saturday, I believe. So. Yeah, while I do love Titans Joe Burrow, I thought that was a Saturday game.
No, Saturday is Niners.
You're right. Yeah, Titans Bengals is the late game.
Yeah, me
too. Or it's the early game. All the way around. The early game, and the Packer game is the late game.
Yeah.
I think I love Joe Burrow. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I think that they are going to be dominant in the future, and that was a nice little building block win for them last week. But that was two huge losses on the defense, so my confidence is a little bit waning in them. I will say though, I think all four road teams have a good chance to win this Sunday or this weekend. I don't think that you can just
confidently say that any of the road teams are going to get destroyed. Well,
I don't think any of these. I think all four of these games are honest toss-ups.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's any definitive win this weekend.
Yeah, we can say, oh yeah, no, that person's favorite or that team's favorite, but all four of these home teams can get clipped this weekend. Yeah. It's definitely possible.
Yeah, for sure.
But I would say the Bengals are the team I'm least confident in. Seventh would be the LA Rams. Matt Stafford, that was cute. Glad you got your first championship win. Now go play Tom Brady and defending Super Bowl champions. That's going to be very fucking hard for them. Sixth, I got to put the Niners. I love their roster. Jimmy G is going to... I hesitate to say Jimmy G's going to fuck it up. He has a tendency to fuck it up.
He has a tendency to
fuck it up. This roster is really good, though.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Really good. And they're going to fight, man. The Titans getting Booby Miles back has to vault them up to 5 on this list. Otherwise, they'd be closer to the bottom. That's a big comeback for them. Defense can be had by Burrow, but getting Derrick Henry back is going to be huge. I got them at 5. I got the Chiefs at 4. I don't trust Pat right now. As great as he is, I just don't trust him to do this shit solo. He's got the weapons. I like how Jerick McKinnon has played behind the backfield this season. Defense is still not good. The only reason the defense didn't get lit up on Sunday is because they had a statue going up against him. Now they have to face Josh Allen, who just scored another touchdown.
Yep.
So that's going to be very, very difficult for this defense. Number 3, I got Green Bay. Green Bay's defense is good. I don't think Green Bay's defense is great. And I feel like that secondary can be had by Deebo Samuel when the Niners go in there on Saturday. Aaron Rodgers is great. That offense is really fucking good. Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, A.J. Dillon, like you said, has been a great complimentary back. I'm very worried about that defense. So I'm going to put them at 4. Or sorry, I'm going to put them at 3. Number 2, I got the Buffalo Bills. And I wasn't sold on the Bills as a Super Bowl contender until Sunday.
Come to my side.
The way that they looked at New England, and they said, not today. This is shaping up looking just like that game we played on Monday night a month ago. Not today. And from the first snap in that first drive, that offense never stopped moving. And you add on to that with the secondary with Poyer and Michael Hyde back there, they're going to be hunting for Pat. And they're going to be looking for Pat to make some mistakes. So the Bills very much are looking like the team to beat in the AFC. Yeah, they got to go on the road to Kansas City. Sure, fine. They might have to go on the road to Tennessee. Sure, fine. Bills can beat anybody left in this postseason on both sides.
Talk to them.
They're good. I'm still hesitant on Daboll as a possible head coach candidate. We'll see how the shit shakes out. But I like Buffalo. And then number 1, I got Tampa Bay. They are dinged up. They are banged up. But when you have a team that trusts the philosophy the way that Tampa Bay does, you just trust it. You trust them to execute when they need to execute. And the Eagles shouldn't have been in the playoffs. Tampa Bay knew it. And Tampa Bay destroyed them.
Tampa Bay treated them like they shouldn't be in the playoffs.
Right. They fucking rolled them. So now here they are against a Rams team that a lot of people have been calling a dream team. You know, did they play this year? I feel like the Rams and Bucks did play
this year. Yeah, they did. The Rams won in L.A.
That's right. Rams won in L.A. Tom doesn't forget.
Tom doesn't forget, and this ain't club so far.
Tom does not forget. You have a team in the Rams on a short week, 6 days, having to fly across the country to Tampa to go play Tom Brady and the defending champions. That's rough. It's very rough. So the Tampa's got to be the team I'm most confident in. Now let's talk about the quarterbacks. And I feel like we know you're number 1.
Yeah, you already know.
But yeah, let's go down from 8 to 1.
From 8 to 1. I'm going to say number 8 out of all the quarterbacks left is Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's number 8. Number 7 would be Ryan Tannehill. Number 6 would be Matthew Stafford. Number five would be Joe Burrow. Number four would be Patrick Mahomes. Three would be Josh Allen. Two would be Fraudulent 12, Aaron Rodgers. And number one, Big Goaty, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement that Jimmy G is eight. They can win in spite of him, but they can also lose because of him.
Yeah.
Tannehill is my number seven, and I like Tannehill. Tannehill is the epitome of a game manager. He can throw the fucking football,
yeah,
but he's epitome of a game manager. You're not putting your trust in him to win you a championship, but you can very well win the championship with Ryan Tannehill. It would be very interesting to see Ryan Tannehill holding the Super Bowl trophy.
The Tanner like, Goat.
Be very interesting. And then we got to reevaluate Ryan Tannehill. We got to put him on the same level as like Joe Flacco and shit.
Somebody called Jimmy Garoppolo. Elite? Somebody called Jimmy Garoppolo Flacco with hoes. And I just was like,
That's great.
Dying laughing.
That's great. number six, I'm gonna put Sean McVay. I feel like you know the reason why, but
not Stafford, Sean McVay.
Sorry. I was looking at coaches. We're talking about quarterbacks, but McVay's quarterback is my number six, and that's Matthew Stafford. You know, one playoff win is not inspiring.
Yeah,
you do have the weapons, like him, man. It's a crime to give that man Odell. Such a crime to give that man Odell. Hey, remember when we all thought that Odell was a problem in Cleveland?
We
you know French nigga? Mm. We. Yeah.
By the way, the NFL tested them today for PEDs. They couldn't believe it.
Okay, sure. Go ahead and test Baker for sucking then. Joe Burrow is my number five. That man's the future. He is him. Number four is Josh Allen. The only reason I have Josh Allen behind Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is because that man doesn't have an MVP, okay, and that man doesn't have a championship. And we have to see that man go and do that in the playoffs before I feel comfortable putting him above the other three. Mahomes is my number three, but like I said, like he's been very, very shaky with his decision making. Even some of the throws in that Pittsburgh game, like that, you know. He's got to be better. He knows he's got to be better. So right now he's my number three. And I mean, like, hey, if you're number three behind Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, you're in good company, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to put Tom Brady as my number two for the simple fact that in the last seven games, Aaron Rodgers thrown, what's it, 1,800 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has been unbelievable in the last seven games of the season. So I got to have Aaron Rodgers as my number one. Brady missing the weapons, Brady being 44, 45, whatever the fuck he is right now, that hurts. What I think hurts most for Brady right now, what I have to put him at number two, Tristan Wirfs' status is going to be very interesting for this upcoming game. It really is. If Tristan Wirfs doesn't play, I expect Vaughn and Aaron Donald to
eat. That nigga going to play.
Of course.
He's going to be effective or not is another question.
He's going to get slapped upside the fucking head and be told he got to play. Shit. But if he doesn't, Vaughn and Aaron Donald are going to have a field day. The Eagles were eating. That D-line was eating on Sunday. It's just the rest of the team wasn't good. So, you know, the Rams definitely have a shot because that line – is a little bit shaky right now. And that's why I got to put Tom Brady a little bit under Aaron Rodgers. But, really anybody in that top three, you could change them in and you could have that same, you know, confident level in them because they've been there and they've done that. All right. Well, sorry for jumping the gun on the coaches. Now let's go to the coaches.
Let's get into it. Top remaining coaches who I have ranked. Number six is easily Taylor in Cincinnati. Taylor,
number eight, you mean?
Number eight, my bad. Eight is Taylor. Seven, I will have to go. This is gonna sound like I'm putting Kendall Roy at seven. Fuck that. I'm putting Kendall Roy. I was gonna disrespect, but I'm gonna put Kendall Roy at seven. Six, I'm going to have to go with the same place I put his quarterback, Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay is a good coach. I think people overrate him because he's what, 2 years older than me. Like I always say, give me five reasons that Sean McVay is a great coach without mentioning his age. So I'm going to put Sean McVay at number six. Number five, I'm going to put Sean McDermott. I'm gonna put him in number five. Four, I'm going to go. Actually, no. Take that back. Five is Matt LaFleur. My bad. Five is Matt LaFleur. I think a lot of that's Aaron Rodgers. So five is Matt LaFleur. Number four, Sean McDermott. Number three, I'm going to go with let's see. Three. I'm trying. I know I'm missing the team. Oh, number three, I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel. Number three, I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel. Number two, I'm going to go with Andy Reid. And number one, I'm going with BA. I'm going with BA for Bruce Arians, number one.
Got an all Tampa at the top here.
You can see where my allegiance lies.
when
the beloved aren't in the postseason.
Of course, man. It always goes to touchdown Tommy.
Touchdown Tommy.
Zach Taylor's my number eight. I've said it before. I don't like Zach Taylor. I don't think he's a good head coach. I'm wondering if he will ruin it for Burrow before Burrow does it for him, pretty much. This would be a good little litmus test for Zach Taylor and his growth as a head coach. Going into Tennessee, Mike Vrabel, who has been solid. I actually got Vrabel in my top four, but we'll get to that in a hot second. Seven, I got LaFleur. Say whatever you want about Matt LaFleur. He's won ball games, yada, yada, yada. Matt LaFleur in the playoffs has been a different man. And you got a Niner team who is dangerous, who can get after the quarterback, and who has weapons on offense. What adjustments is Matt LaFleur going to make in game when the Niners give him problems? I want to see. I got McVay at eight. Again, for, you know, what does he do? What sets him apart from other head coaches, besides the fact that he is young?
Right.
This is the same that goes for LaFleur, which is the same that goes for Shanahan, which I completely forgot. Remember that 2002 Washington team that won a division with RG3?
Yeah.
Your offensive coordinator was Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. Your quarterback's coach was Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur. Yeah.
Tight end's coach was Sean
McVay. Yep.
All three of them niggas are the same nigga. Speaking of, look at that. Seven was Matt LaFleur. Six was Sean McVay. Five is Kyle Shanahan.
Kendall Roy.
Yeah.
The Roys are in the NFL. Kendall Roy is Kyle Shanahan. Connor Roy is George McCaskey.
Hey, man, I like Connor. So
look, man, he's the oldest son. He don't really know shit.
Connor goofy.
He look like he like George McCaskey goofy. Like, both of them look like they're generally good guys. They just don't know what the fuck they doing. It's both of them.
No, but while Connor is goofy where he's funny, George McCaskey is just a goofy.
Okay, that's true.
Okay. That's a little hard. Mike Vrabel is my number four. Mike Vrabel's proved that he can go in on the road. Did it twice and went in the post.
Mike Vrabel just look like a football coach. You know, some football coaches got that look. He look like
fucking football.
Like, he go to the gym and look at film.
Pretty much.
That's all he does.
He loves football. He's going on the road in the postseason. I see, no, more than twice.
Yeah.
He won those two times when they went to the title game a couple years back.
He ended Tommy's time in New England.
He ended Tom Brady's time in New England as well. Which was that same year, but 2017 when he had Mariota and he beat Alex Smith in the playoffs. So
Pat White.
He's won in the playoffs on the road. Ugh. Now he's got home field advantage. Now, they didn't win last year at home against Baltimore. You got Burrow coming in, a younger quarterback. You're getting healthy. Vrabel is tenacious. He's the leader of men type that the Bears are trying to look for.
Right.
You know, I'm very interested to see what he's going to do his postseason. I got Sean McDermott as my number three, and that's halfway because I really like McDermott as a quarterback, as a head coach, but it's also because of his two coordinators. Daboll is excellent, and then no matter if we want Leslie Frazier or not,
he's a great defensive coordinator.
Breaking news, we don't.
Yeah.
he looks at Leslie Frazier as a defensive coordinator. McDermott, it's Sean McDermott's defense,
but – yeah,
but Leslie Frazier runs that shit, and the players, Buffalo loves him. Players in Buffalo love him. So it's kind of like an all around thing with all three of them kind of combining into Sean McDermott. But I got McDermott at three.
I actually feel bad for not wanting Leslie Frazier sometimes. He's like a good dude, he's black dude.
He looks like a really nice dude, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Look like, you know, he'd be a good mentor for people, you know.
But it's the most PTSD bear shit ever. 85 Bears that, like,
the main men of the 85 Bears. It's just, it would just be peak Bears. And I just, it's less about, it's more about the process than it is about him.
100%. Bruce Arians is my number two and Andy Reid is my number one, although that those two are interchangeable.
Yeah, that's very fair. I had to think about both, but I just slightly took BA over Reid.
Yep. Yep. And then very quickly, let's run through the defenses that we'll see on divisional round weekend.
Okay, number eight. The remaining defenses, I'm going to have to go with the Bengals. Number seven, I'm going to have to go with probably the Packers. I'm probably going to pack at seven. Six would be Tampa. Five would be Tennessee. Four would be Actually, no. Switch Tampa, put Kansas City there. Put Kansas City there in number six. Five would be Tennessee. No, five would be Tampa. Then four, I'll put Tennessee. Three, I would put the Rams. I'll probably put the Rams at number three. Two, I would put the Niners, and then one, I would go Buffalo. That's how I got my ranking.
That's not bad. I got the Bengals at eight, the Chiefs at seven. I'm actually going to call a little bit of an audible and make some changes here. I'm going to put the Packers at six, the Bucks at five. Let's go Titans four, 49ers three, Rams two, Buffalo is one. I think Buffalo is the best defense left in this postseason. And with the way Josh Allen is balling out, and they figured out that running the football is beneficial, especially in the playoffs. That might be the most dangerous team, period, is Buffalo. So be on the lookout for that. All right, let's predict divisional round weekend. We have four games on tap, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. Let's start on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, this is a 4:30 start time on CBS. The Bengals are in Tennessee. Titans are favored by 3.5 points. The line is 47.5. You got Derrick Henry coming back. Joe Burrow playing his second playoff game. Where do you see this one, Craig?
All four of these games are going to be extremely close. Like we said, all four of these games could go either way. But I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think Tennessee is the most underrated Super Bowl contender out there. I just think more than anything, Derrick Henry. Like you said, that's a deciding factor. If Derrick Henry wasn't playing, I probably would go Cincinnati. But Derrick Henry is going to get a lot of carries. He's going to control that clock. And we all know Tannehill is at least good enough to – Tannehill's never going to lose you a game. Like you said, he's a game manager, but he's not. Like, he's a game manager, but if he can still make a big-time throw if need be. So, I just think that and with – to me, Cincinnati being the worst defense out of all the teams remaining, it's just going to be too much for them to try to contain Derrick Henry in that fucking weather. You know, it's probably going to be cold there. Imagine trying to tackle that dude. It's just going to be too much for them. And they're fresh. They're ready. It's going to be a nice little crowd at Tennessee. So I'm going to go with the Titans.
I'm going with the Titans as well. I'm going with the Titans by a touchdown. You know, if they stay with the run game and just feed Derrick Henry, set up that play action pass for AJ Brown and Julio Jones. This is going to be a cakewalk of a game. Love Burrow, love Jamar Chase, but I feel like Titans on D are going to be able to contain them. Like I say, it's going to be close. Titans are going to pull it out by a touchdown. But I'm going Tennessee, and like you said, Tennessee is very underrated. I picked Tennessee to make the Super Bowl beginning of the year. Really just to be different because I didn't want to say Buffalo. You said Buffalo, Joe said the Browns. I didn't want to go with either of those picks, especially
Joe was
the Browns.
Wrong as fuck. By the way, Joe's abandoned his podcast, by the way. Just to let y'all know. It's like he's abandoned cinema with the guys, but whatever. We'll leave that later on. He's
treating us like a son, eh?
Right.
Going to get some cigarettes and milk, eh? Yeah, man, I'm going to go with Tennessee. Tennessee is a very... very good football team, very well run football team. If they can get Derrick Henry going back to full strength, they're gonna be very menacing, and I think they're gonna They're gonna handle that defensive line of Cincinnati for sure. The Saturday night game, which will be on, I believe, Fox, right?
Yeah, you know they give Troy Aikman for anything that's got Rodgers on it.
The way Troy Aikman was pissy last
week. Oh, that nigga was hot. Having to do the Eagles game. Was hot.
They're definitely gonna give him Green Bay and San Francisco. I mean, actually, that's the only Fox game that they have, so they're definitely gonna get that
Does
one.
Does Fox have a Super Bowl this year?
No, NBC does.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, San Francisco going to Green Bay. San Francisco has been terror for the Packers throughout history. The line is 5.5. It has not moved since it opened at 5.5. I'm going with San Francisco. And that's nothing. That's no hate. That's no hate at all.
Of course they're gonna think we're haters. By the way, we're Niner game this week. Let's not bang, get it
bang,
fucked
Niner
up.
Game.
Bang bang Niner game.
By the way, did you see that video of like this is the Cowboys fans during the game?
Oh, I saw that. All that E-40. All the E-40.
In a second, bang bang Niner game.
Sprinkle me, man. Sprinkle me, man.
Too short net, bitch. I'm like, yep. Yep. I also love how like Texas niggas don't understand the Bay Area.
Nobody honestly, outside of California, I didn't understand E-40. And even though Ty got like in Southern California, which is two different things, but niggas still respect E-40 out here.
Right. It's still a respect factor in Southern California. But like Texas, Dallas folk, like they go to California like, yo, why are you twerking the too short? I'm like, how don't you twerk the too short?
I asked at Damien's engagement party, I asked some of his friends from Oakland, I asked them, who do y'all fuck with more, E-40 or too short? They act like I put a gun in their head. They was like, oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's like picking who's your favorite. So, but yeah, we're Niner game this week. And my pick, like, I'm picking the Niners only because I picked the Niners to go to the NFC Championship game before the season started. So I'm going down with the ship. So I'm picking them. But I do think that the Packers will probably win this game for two reasons. One, like I said earlier about the opportunity presented in front of them. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to fuck up this opportunity again. And Matt LaFleur is not going to take the ball out of Aaron's hands. And then also he hears this. Aaron's never beat the Niners. They passed over him in the draft. They're 0-3 in the playoffs. Last night, they did a fucking montage on SportsCenter of all three of his playoff losses against the fucking Niners. So
just to count them for fun.
For fun. That's the only thing we can get off on them.
That would be 2010, yes. 2013, and
2019. 2019.
Okay.
The last NFC Championship game before the world ended.
Simulation never ends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I truly believe that this is if the Niners are a bad draw for the Cowboys, they're a horrible draw for Green Bay.
I mean, yeah, and that's what Rich Eisen said. Rich Eisen said, if you're the Packers, you gotta be like, come on, like if there's any team we didn't want to see. It's these motherfuckers. So, yes, I'm picking the Niners. Let's not get it fucked up. I'm picking the Niners because fuck Green Bay, and I'm going down with the shit with my preseason pick. But I would not be shocked. And I would not be shocked if the Packers win this game.
But right. Either the Packers are going to win this game going away.
Absolutely.
Or the Niners are going to win this game close.
And that's the thing. They don't – if it's a close game, the Packers fucked up. Because
all the butts in Lambeau Field on that cold fucking bleacher that they got out there because they think they're a fucking high school stadium, all them cold ass butts are gonna get very tight.
I mean, AJ Hawk said this is what I loved about McAfee the other day. Like, they were all like, oh, the Packers gonna win because you know they Rodgers boys. And then Dan Orlovsky was like, look, man, look, they can run the ball. And he was like, AJ, what's the Packers' weakness? And AJ Hawk just sat there like, well, yeah, if there's any team that's more equipped to beat them, yeah. It's them. They run the ball, they control the clock, and that's the Packers' weakness.
Listen, Packer fans are gotta be happy that they don't have to have Raheem Mostert PTSD. Now you just have to have Elijah Mitchell PTSD.
And Debo.
And Debo. Oh my god.
Don't forget about Debo.
All the racial slurs is gonna be flying in Green Bay.
Debo's my favorite non-quarterback in the NFL. I love Debo.
The way he carry himself is very fun.
Yeah. You give him any type of space, it could be the smallest amount of space. He gone. So that's my pick. I'm picking the Niners, but.
Yeah, man. Let's go to Sunday. The first game on Sunday is, holy shit, 3 o'clock. This is all Eastern time, standard time, by the way. 3 o'clock start time, Tampa Bay hosting the LA Rams. Rams got to go back, got to go to the East Coast on a short week. Bucks are favored by 3 points. I took this at 2.5 because I feel like it might creep. So sorry if you can't get that half point. But the Bucks are favored by 3. I've heard a lot of people say the Rams can come away with this.
That's a lot of people. Right.
Let me go ahead and look at it. Actually, no, right now, 65% of the money, 56% of the bets are on the Rams, 65% of the money's on the Buccaneers.
Okay.
Which tells me that the pros, the professional bettors, are on the Bucs and the public's on the Rams. So I'm gonna side with the professionals. I'm gonna side with the folks that might smell the funk out of Matthew Stafford versus the people that might look at the Rams and be like, oh, they got all these fucking players on their squad. They have to beat Tampa Bay. I don't know, man. I don't know about all that. Like I said, the line is gonna be interesting if Tristan Wirfs is able to play, because that swings the tide in the Rams' favor. But I'm going to trust two things. One, that Tom Brady is going to get the job done in the playoffs. Two, that Matthew Stafford will not get the job done in the playoffs.
Yes.
So Tampa, I'm taking Tampa by 3.
I'm taking Tampa. It's going to be an extremely close game. But just because it's an extremely close game is just another reason why I don't fucking trust the fucking Rams in this fucking game. I do think the offensive line is going to have problems. If they're hurt, if the offensive line for the Buccaneers isn't healthy, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, them dudes are going to eat. But in a close game, I'm not going with Matthew Stafford. I trust those Tampa Bay linebackers to make his life hell. I trust they're the number one rushing defense in the NFL. I think they're going to put Cam Akers and they're going to put Sonny Michel and make them non-existent. If they lose this game, they're going to make Matthew Stafford beat them. They're going to take Ty Bowles is going to send heat at that nigga. Okay. So the defense is going to be ready. And the secondary, which has been getting disrespected this year. I know I seen they're one of the worst secondaries. Yeah, because they were fucking hurt majority of the fucking year. This is one of the situations where you can say numbers lie. They've been hurt a great majority of the year. Antoine Winfield and them dudes are going to be ready. And I think that Stafford throws a couple picks. And at the end of the day, the man has the bigger gun, and that is Tom fucking Brady. And it's just going to end at the crib. Like you said, Tom don't forget. He remember that loss early in the season. He ain't losing twice. And that's the deciding factor right there. I'm going to take Tampa Bay Buccaneers on that.
And the final game of division weekend. We got a little bit of breaking news, so we might as well get to that real quick. According to The Athletic, insiders say rumors tying Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh to the Raiders may just be leverage for new Michigan contract.
That's what we all knew about the whole time.
Yeah. We all knew. He had to give back some money because of the pandemic, because he's a state employee. So he has to give back some money. So he's definitely trying to angle him a new contract. Listen, when you beat Ohio State for the first time in forever, and when a dude who is the defensive coordinator of the 2013-2014 Chicago Bears is now the highest paid head coach in your state,
he wanna pay.
Get paid. I'd be damned if Mel Tucker has a better house than me. The fuck
you think this is?
All right, final game. Sunday night, 6:30 Eastern time on CBS. I can't imagine that Romo and Nance aren't calling this. Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City favorite by 1.5. Oh, God, this is actually going down. Oh, shit. I need to get on Buffalo while I can. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I think Buffalo's going to win this.
Yeah. Come over here on my side. Bills Mafia.
I think the Mafia is going to be in full force. I think they're going to show up. It's still 2.5. Well, it's probably not going to be 2.5 at DraftKings by tomorrow, so. This is very moot if you're listening to this today. Sorry. Yeah, man. This Bills team is all around is very solid. They dominated Kansas City earlier this season. Granted, it was in Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes is a guy that remembers shit like Tom Brady and will come back in the playoffs and be a different man. But I'm going to trust this Buffalo defense to frustrate Pat. And Pat has been very, very turnover prone this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Buffalo is
going to create some turnovers. He got picked off last week.
I think Buffalo is going to create some turnovers. I think Josh Allen is going to play up to the moment. And here's the thing, man. Stephon Diggs, he's got to be top three or four wide receivers left.
Mm-hmm.
You put him, Devontae, Mike Evans, and then
Justin Jefferson.
He's on Minnesota. Yeah.
You said top five in the league, right?
Or no, left in the postseason.
Oh, never mind. Like he's
definitely in the top four. Yeah. If not top three left in the postseason, I think he's gonna have a monster game. I'm gonna go with Buffalo.
I'm going with Buffalo. I've been on Buffalo all year. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not stopping this train. Bills Mafia, Benny the Butcher, Bill Mafia song. We playing. We gonna see. We gonna see Thurman hitting the gritty again. I think it's that time. This year, the defense is playing well. They believe in themselves. Josh Allen is that guy.
He is that guy.
You're that guy, pal. And the Chiefs have been so inconsistent. And it breaks my heart to have to pick against Mahomes. Because y'all know, outside of Brady and Justin, Pat is my guy.
Nah, fuck that. You know why I'm going against Patrick Mahomes?
Why?
Because I ain't got to see his fucking brother do TikTok dances during the Super Bowl. Fuck that, nigga.
It's an anti-Jackson Mahomes podcast. But they've just been way too inconsistent for me. The defense has been inconsistent. Pat's been inconsistent. And I know they're at home. It's going to be a very, very close game, but I just think at the end of the game, the defense is going to make some more plays, and Josh Allen is going to take them over the top. So I'm going with the Bills.
You see this nigga was wearing a Bulls sweatshirt the other day?
Who?
Jackson. Don't put that negativity on my basketball team. Yeah. Not while we just getting good.
Yeah. Let's
not do that. What the fuck are you doing? Jackson Mahomes is single-handedly spurning away interracial relationships. you can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Scott's at Barbchair Scott. He probably can't even see me because it's dark out and I refuse to turn on my lights. I like it like that. At Barbchair Net on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/barbchairdigital. Third pick. Yeah, out same time.
About to record this right now.
Mm. Go ahead and talk about the Chicago Bulls, man.
Gotta get a couple of y'all off the ledge, man. Help you off the ledge.
Y'all are ready to really during the Nets game in the second. Yep. Dude, I went to the bar for the second half because I got off work in time for the second half. Wow, that game started at 10 o'clock Eastern. Holy shit. And second half starts, 2-point game. All right, you know, cool. Take my drink. I look over, I'm like, oh shit, we down 10? That's crazy. Oh shit, we down 20?
Yeah. Oh shit.
We down 30?
Yeah. I was nervous about Zach's injury, because anytime I see a Bulls guard with a non-contact
injury, PTSD was hitting.
My PTSD was flaring. It was flaring. Like, I wouldn't, but, you know, so check that out, and we'll get into full in-depth about that. So,
check it out. Ruthless Aggression is back. I guess we're going to talk about Gunther, unfortunately. So be on the lookout for that later on in the week. Summer Sessions, y'all got a new episode, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's coming
I feel like I did an artwork for that.
Well, last week we didn't record because me and Damien were ready, but my brother fell asleep, and Pavi was taking all goddamn day to get on the call. So I said, fuck it, because anybody who knows me personally, I'm big on time. I give you niggas 10 minutes. Once you pass the 10-minute threshold, I'm going on my day. So that's why we didn't have, but we will have one episode this week. We got an episode of Euphoria on Cinema with the guys. Me and Dante break it down, that show.
I hate that Nate is dropping bars this season.
Checked it out. We get all
the
of
worst
that.
Person in the world making a lot of points.
Making the worst person you know made a good point. Me and Thomas, me and TPJ, we break it down. Don't Look Up. So that'll be on the Patreon this week. And I'm not gonna hold you. Divisional preview will be up.
Our show is about to ask you your thoughts about the movie, but I'm like, we're kind of giving it away.
Listen to me. Yeah, I'm a Leo stan. Leo's my favorite actor, so just know I liked it a lot.
Okay. No, I was the opposite. But we're going to get up out of here, man. Enjoy the divisional round of playoffs. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay COVID-free.
Yes, mask up.
We'll see you guys for the conference championship game right here on 2-Minute Drill, man. For Scott, I'm Pierce. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir.